Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Talk Radio 710 AM 103.7 FM. This is the moment. This is the time and the place. Do give us a call, 576-7710, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
We have so much to talk about, but we might want to say one final thing. You know, I don't know if it's postmodernism to talk about women clergy, meaning women being ordained and with equal, not rights, but responsibilities, duties, functionalities like men. That's not too postmodern for us Protestants. There have been some. There have been women priests and women clergy, if you will, in some Anabaptist traditions for 500 years. And it would be interesting if we could find out the very, very, very first woman in Protestantism. And they might say, well, that was back at the early church. That might be Lydia in the New Testament. Oh, interesting. That'd be an interesting take. But it's not very postmodern. I know that that's not what our friend Mike was talking about, but in terms of the postmodern relativism, you know, we get into a language war, don't we, Michael, when, you know, we can't even have a conversation. And I just want to reinforce something you said, because people listening to the last part of that conversation might say, oh, there's a dispute about what truth is. Yeah, welcome to the party.
Yeah.
And that's been going on since human beings could talk. But the vast majority, and by that we mean 75%.
I think it's in the 90s.
In the 90s? Okay. Believe in global warming. Believe that what human beings do with carbon emissions and a whole host of other things has effect on our environment, has had effect, and deleterious effect at that. They are the ones who write peer-reviewed journal articles and talk among themselves. And it's not just like the majority that are holding on to an old prejudice. This is a new insight that has been carefully wrought, and they're trying to do something about it. And Mike just has another way of viewing who the scientists are.
Because he said this, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, he's also said that some of it is fraudulent, and there was this thing a couple of years ago out of some British thing some distortion of climate evidence. But the evidence is overwhelming, and people aren't lying. Come on.
They're not lying, nor are they hoodwinking people.
Mm.
Yeah, I liked what you said about that. Can we talk about the Methodists for a minute?
Yeah.
I think we have to, and we want to. Come on. There's a big, big general conference going on now, and it goes all the way through Friday, the 20th, I believe, out in Portland, and it is big. And they are discussing basically homosexuality and transgender, the LGBTQ community, and whether to ordain, whether to bless same-sex marriages, etc. And this is a global thing. This is a global dilemma, because guess where the Methodists have been prodigiously popular and growing? In the continent of Africa and elsewhere. And those positions in those countries are, the position is usually very conservative. And some think that this conversation is a battle for Methodism, if you will. And will we end up with Methodists being like Episcopalians, where the Methodist as a whole, like Anglican as a whole, scolded the U.S. expression of Anglicanism, the U.S. Episcopal Church, and kind of put it in probation or in a kind of probationary type of mode for, I guess, the next several years. And will that be what happens with the Methodist Church? We'll have to see. Or will there be a split? And that's what many people are trying to avoid, is a split within Methodism, at least, but still while they're accommodating modernity.
You know, the largest congregation in America, Methodist, is right here in Kansas City. So I wonder if there's anybody from Church of the Resurrection that might want to call in, 576-7710. What do you all think about this? I'd love to hear from some of our Methodist brothers and sisters on that question. You know, it's interesting to me it does seem like when the church has these kinds of disputes, it is kind of nice to have a pope to sort of have a final say where the question can be
the
kind
easy
of
out for the Catholics.
But Bob, what do you think about that? Like it. I mean,
it would be very comforting to have that. Yeah.
I mean, as Catholics we go though, like I sometimes wish, you know, Islam had a pope, because it just seems like, what do you guys do when you disagree? Is it right to use violence to spread your religion, or non-violence? And it doesn't seem like there's any court of, you know, you just keep, you know, they just kind of break away and they have their own sect. How do you guys handle that? Where, I mean, is that what's going to happen? Just if they can't come to an agreement, they're just going to break apart. And then 100 years later, when the next big argument comes, what do you think about that, and how do you resolve that?
With fear and trembling, to quote scripture, you know, I think that we do it carefully. And I think Michael and I come from traditions that have a pretty similar approach to this, and that not too dissimilar from the reasoning. I mean, Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. It's invitational, come. It is based on the human capacity to think and to ponder and to wonder. And I think that reasoning is more than just calculating an equation. And together, we do it together. And it's, you know, very difficult. It's messy. And we end up not agreeing all the time. So, but no, we'll take no pope any day over pope, you know. I mean, that's been settled. Would it be comforting to have somebody that about which you could say, and some Protestants say this, they put blank said it, I believe it, that settles it, you know. To me, that makes an idol out of whatever authority you're citing, whether it's the pope or the Bible. And you're abstaining from your own responsibility and betraying it. So, but that's the burden of Protestantism, I believe, that we're always cast back upon ourselves, and we would say, where else would we be cast back on? And the grace of God, and the grace of God,
and
to tease it out.
And just to, I mean, I'm studying all this stuff right now, training to be a deacon, but I think the Pope is the most conspicuous magisterium we have, but the church's understanding is that the Holy Spirit doesn't just exclusively speak through the Pope. The Pope's kind of the sort of final, has the final word, but the Pope discerns in union with the bishops. The bishops share in the magisterium, and there's also something called the sense of the faithful, that the church recognizes that the Holy Spirit speaks to through the whole body of the church. And, you know, we've been talking today about women, and can women be ordained to be deacons? You know, can women become part of the Catholic clergy? And I feel the need to say, you know, in a certain sense, the Catholic Church, we already have a woman priesthood, in as much as we have the priesthood of the faithful. Like, but in virtue of your baptism, you have some share God promised to the Hebrews, you will be a priestly people. And as Catholics, we understand our baptism brings us in, makes us a priestly people. So each and every baptized person is participating in the priesthood of the faithful in some sense. And there is an equality that we have in virtue of our baptism. So in dignity as a member of the body of Christ, I share an equal dignity to the Pope. I mean, we're both in virtue of our baptism. So with that being said, I guess the question I've been thinking about this is, does the church give different Christians different roles? Certainly that's clear. And can some of that role be, is one of the discerning marks, gender? I mean, like as a man, I can never be a mother, you know, and that's something I get in virtue of my gender, my biology. I mean, it's biologically impossible, at least for now, but,
Although you could go to the ladies' bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So I'm wondering, I did a little bit of stream of consciousness. Forgive me there, but what does our audience think? 816-576-7732.
And we'll be right back after these messages. Do give us a call. Give us a call, 576-7710.
Visit OverheadDoorKansasCity.com or call 816-512-1512.
Corona Light presents the Spread the Love Tour 2016, starring Kenny Chesney.
Sunset right here and have another beer in Mexico.
With Miranda Lambert.
When you fall apart.
Saturday, July 16th in Arrowhead Stadium. Kenny Chesney.
Light up the night and let it burn till it's gone.
And Miranda Lambert.
You can't ride.
With special guests Sam Hunt.
I just want to take your time.
And Old Dominion.
I know you ain't in love.
Saturday, July 16th in Arrowhead Stadium.
It's a simple wine, it's summertime.
Kenny Chesney.
Sweet summertime.
Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Gunpowder,
Miranda Lambert and Kenny Chesney.
Saturday night.
Produced by Messina Touring Group and AEG Live.
Hey. Carson in the Morning.
Dale, welcome to the Carson in the Morning Show. What do you think?
Yeah, I think people could help sponsor the wall. That way we get it paid for. You know, like LifeLock could sponsor a section.
How about Chipotle?
Yeah.
This mile of keeping Mexicans on the other side of the wall brought to you by Ford Motor Company.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And on the other side, they could sponsor it too with all the companies that move there to save money.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dale. Good idea, buddy.
Let's get some natural tie-ins like Durex.
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 Yes.
Nothing gets past our barrier, right? Tampax no. Pearl. Tampax Pearl. There will be no flow here. There will be no flow. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
You get natural tie-in.
Oh, that's perfect.
People that are supposed to have barriers, they would want their name on.
That is perfect. Oh, that's perfect. And for the water in the Rio Grande, you have the reservoir tip.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have the Trojan man walking up and down the thing on patrol.
Carson in the Morning, weekday mornings 6 to 10. Carson in the Morning.
If Rob Carson says that I support you, I mean, that's priceless. I mean, honestly, it's do or die. You don't kiss the ring of the old Carsoni here, you're done.
Are you sure it's not the kiss of death?
Yes.
I mean, I've known you for such a short amount of time.
Poison lipstick, yes.
Everybody you've supported, they go away. They actually flame on them like spectacular.
Scott
fashion.
Walker will come back someday.
I mean, just since I've known you. You were originally Scott Walker. I love this guy.
Oh, yeah.
There went his campaign.
Oh, boy. I sure like that Carly Fiorina, man. Oh God.
Took it all back and shot it.
Oh, Marco Rubio.
I loved Marco for a while.
I went to his rally. I guess I'll vote for Ted Cruz then. I mean, what the heck? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, no. Oh, he's all over me now. Oh, my God. Give me a towel. I think I got some of him in my mouth here when he blew up.
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the Morning.
The Go Bowling 400, Kyle Busch pulled out the win. Apparently, he took the lead on lap 231 out of 267.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Can't say enough about Interstate. Boss Energy Drink, Toyota, of course, Sprint, and they do for our sport.
Got to thank the sponsors, man.
Fans, too. And...
All right. I can't. That's the problem with that sport. The sponsorships are out of control.
Yeah.
What should be an authentic moment.
Yeah.
Hey, I just gotta give it up. Man upstairs, also M&M, Coke, Pepsi, Budweiser.
And the fans.
Light.
And the fans.
And my fans. And then my children. Yeah. Also DeWalt.
Yeah.
Cobalt.
Yeah. Valvoline, my lovely wife.
Truex Jr., though, in the lead for almost the entire time.
Yeah.
He got passed up by Kyle Busch. Here he is, apoplectic. He looks like he's about to cry.
Just, it's
frustrating when you've had it happen so many times in your career. I mean, it's, I swear.
My tears are brought to you by Bass Pro Shop and the Visit Omaha Council.
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. This is KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Deacon in Training and Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And we've got totally new bumper music, Michael, as you're hearing.
Yeah.
And Rick is doing a great job with finding his new music. We think that the old music was lost, and it may have been lost on purpose.
Yeah.
It may have been lost on purpose. We don't know. So, hey, let's give a shout-out to a friend of – I was just telling Bill about this gentleman, Richard Tripp, and his memory. And yesterday was basically a kind of Christian unveiling. It was and we need to hear from you directly, Michael, about the ritual of unveiling in Judaism of a marker in a cemetery. At any rate, our friend Richard Tripp was the founder and director of COP, Care of Poor People, and he had for years and years and years done a fall and a spring helping the homeless moment of food and medical care and clothing, and galvanized a good bit of the interfaith community to do this together. We remembered, Michael, yourself and Temple B'nai Yehuda and the central place that B'nai Yehuda played in terms of involving the Jewish community in his efforts.
Thank you. So, Bob, when you sent me the a photo of the marker and that there had been this little ceremony, that were you the officiant?
No, I was not. I was in attendance. I did say a word at the invitation of Reverend Tina Harris, who is the pastor at Grand Avenue Temple, where the funeral was held.
Sure.
But John Eisenberg, friend of yours, and Jenny were there. And they were huge in terms of helping this all take place in terms of his funeral back in early March. Mm-hmm. He died on March the 2nd. And then with this moment of the marker being unveiled.
Yeah. Do you know, by chance, I will respond to what the origin and idea behind this is, but... The marker itself, which has the symbol for COP, do you know who did Richard design it himself, or was it a tribute that others came up with? Do you know?
No, I think he probably, as he was always doing, enlisting people in his cause, and he got somebody to design it, with homelessness, hunger, and injustice being the three things that eagle.
No, I meant the marker itself.
I think he did not design that marker.
Because it's the right tribute. That's why I was asking. Yeah.
I'm pretty
sure somebody was wise.
Yes, I think this was done by a Jewish friend that designed the marker. How was it the right way to do the marker? Tell me that.
Well, I just think in terms of who he was and what mattered to him, that will always be on that stone, the connection to a COP.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I meant by it.
Yeah.
So this custom, I don't even had to do research on this, because the question is whether it's required in Jewish tradition or is simply a matter of custom, which often has the same force but not the same legal status. And the notion of an unveiling or the dedication of a marker, it's known by a variety of names, is about 400 years old in Jewish tradition. And it was a way to mark a particular moment in the mourning process. So that... Wait, I'm hearing an echo. Am I the only one?
That's just you.
Getting that?
Not us.
Okay, good. It sounds like I'm, you know, Lou Gehrig at Yankee Stadium here.
Okay.
We must not do it before 30 days, and traditionally you try to do it within 11 months after the death has occurred. Now, the 30 days is intriguing in that traditionally you don't go to a cemetery for 30 days after the burial, and I'm quite convinced that was the notion psychologically that the person's not there. You don't make that a place of absolute, I'm still in contact with you, but almost only and especially there. Within the 11 months is because, as you may know, Bob, that the Yahrt site, the annual remembering of the anniversary of a person's passing is in the 12-month period maximum. So it's done after 30 days or before 11 months. Traditionally, it can be done any time, or some people don't do it.
Hmm.
But it's not meant to be a second funeral. It's meant to be a celebration of the deathless qualities that inspire and continue to be part of our lives, because this person is part of our lives still.
Okay.
That's the idea.
That's very interesting. I did not know it was only 400 years old.
Yeah, well, that's young in Jewish life.
Well, yeah, you know, I thought it might have dated back to Torah.
You are such a sneaky guy. Because Jewish tradition always looks for what is the connection. Not maybe a little bit like Mike, was that the Mick, the caller we had such a curious conversation there is an effort to try to suggest that in the episode in Genesis where Jacob buries Rachel, he sets up a gal ed on her grave, a heap, which can be translated a heap of witness. What was he doing?
Yeah.
That's the origin, what people claim, of the putting the stones on a marker that someone has been there. But it's also the origins of how you get a marker at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And was that to keep the animals away?
My assumption is that's the principal reason for putting stones over graves. Yeah.
I will tell you this. I have placed a stone on top of the granite vertical marker at my mother's grave.
Mm-hmm.
In Teague, Texas, or as we say down there, Tig. At Tig, Texas, I placed to say, I remember you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm covering you with my loving remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that from time to time, there will be stones upon the top, you know, on the top edge of a grave marker.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder often when I see that, are those people remembering this Jewish practice, basically, or remembering a biblical incident that they remember reading.
Mm-hmm.
Just very interesting to say. Because
I'm not aware of any biblical phrase that's precisely, you must, when you visit a grave,
put a stone.
There are some people, especially in Kansas City, who put grass. Our days are like grass. In the morning we grow up and flourish, in the evening.
Very interesting.
So they plant grass seed on the grave or something?
No. Literally, grab some grass and put it on
all
the marker.
All flesh is grass.
Oh,
the flower fades, the grass withers, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So,
with you is the fountain of life, and thy light do we behold. Light.
Hey, before we go to the bottom of the hour, where we're going to have to take a mandatory break as well, we need to put out there that today on the Christian calendar is very special. It's one of the high festival days. It's called Pentecost. It's 50 days after Easter for us Western Christians. And what is the color for Pentecost? And you get, special crown, stars in your crown if you answer that. What is the color for Pentecost? And what's the color for next Sunday, huh? In your tradition? Give us a call, 576-7710, here at Religion on the Line.
Carson in the Morning.
Dale, welcome to the Carson in the Morning Show. What do you think?
Yeah, I think people could help sponsor the wall. That way we get it paid for. You know, like LifeLock could sponsor a section.
How about Chipotle?
Yeah.
This mile of keeping Mexicans on the other side of the wall brought to you by Ford Motor Company.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And on the other side, they could sponsor it too with all the companies that move there to save money.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dale. Good idea, buddy.
Let's get some natural tie-ins like Durex.
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 Yes.
Nothing gets past our barrier, right? Tampax Pearl. Tampax Pearl. There will be no flow here. There will be no flow. See what I'm saying? Yes. You get natural tie-in.
Oh, that's perfect.
People that are supposed to have barriers, they would want their name on it.
That is perfect. Oh, that's perfect. And for the water in the Rio Grande, you have the reservoir tip.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have the Trojan man walking up and down the thing on patrol.
Carson in the Morning, weekday mornings, 6 to 10.
CBS News Update, Russian doping.
For the first time, Russia's sports minister, Vitaly Mutko, has apologized for widespread doping by his country's top athletes, yet he refuses to admit the state was complicit, claiming it was all the athletes' fault.
CBS's Larry Miller.
Last week, it was revealed systematic cheating took place at the 2014 Sochi Winter Olympics, with 15 Russian medal winners among those taking performance-enhancing drugs. The doping scandal could get Russia banned from this summer's Rio Olympics.
CBS's Armin Katayan's been investigating for 60 Minutes the Russian athlete doping scandal. His assessment of the apology?
I think it's an attempt by Mr. Mutko and the Russian government, and certainly I think you have to put this in the quarters of power in the Kremlin and President Putin, a last-ditch attempt to get the Russian track and field team to be allowed to compete in Rio.
The Olympics are set to begin in Rio August 5th. CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
KCMO weather from KCTV 5.
What a cold start to the day for the middle of May. Temperatures this morning will rebound into the middle 60s this afternoon with partly cloudy skies. Mostly cloudy overnight with temperatures in the upper 40s. And then Monday, good chance of rain with a high of only 55. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Jesse Hawila.
Carson in the Morning.
Why more women are letting their husbands cheat? Really? What? I mean, how often does this happen?
You see this, AshleyMadison.com?
No, I did not. You know, if my wife did this, I would be like that animal that's raised in captivity. When they take them out, they lift up the cage, and it just kind of sits there in the cage. That's what would happen to me. She'd be like, go cheat this weekend. And I would be. I'd be just like that animal, just cowering. I can't. I've never lived out there. It's been so long.
Carson in the Morning. Weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the Morning.
If Rob Carson says that I support you, I mean, that's priceless. I mean, honestly, it's do or die. You don't kiss the ring of the old Carsoni here, you're done.
Are you sure it's not the kiss of death?
Yes.
I mean, I've known you for such a short amount of time.
Poison lipstick, yes.
Everybody you've supported, they go away. They actually flame out in like spectacular
Scott
fashion.
Walker will come back someday.
I mean, just since I've known you, you were originally Scott Walker. I love this guy.
Oh, yeah.
There went his campaign.
Oh, boy, I sure like that Carly Fiorina, man.
Oh God. Took it out back and shot it.
Oh, Marco Rubio.
I loved Marco for a while.
I went to his rally. I guess I'll vote for Ted Cruz then. I mean, what the heck? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, no. Oh, he's all over me now. Oh, my God. Give me a towel. I think I got some of him in my mouth here when he blew up.
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the Morning.
The Go Bowling 400, Kyle Busch pulled out the win. Apparently, he took the lead on lap 231 out of 267.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Can't say enough about Interstate. Boss Energy Drink, Toyota, of course, Sprint, and what they do for our sport.
We got to thank the sponsors, man.
Fans, too. And
All right. I can't. That's the problem with that sport. The sponsorships are out of control. Yeah. What should be an authentic moment.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got to give it up. Man upstairs, also M&M, Coke, Pepsi, Budweiser.
And the fans.
Bush Light.
And the fans.
And my fans. And then my children, also DeWalt, Cobalt.
Yeah, Valvoline, my lovely wife.
Truex Jr., though, in the lead for almost the entire time and got passed up by Kyle Busch. Here he is, apoplectic. He looks like he's about to cry.
It's frustrating when you've had it happen so many times in your career. I mean, it's... I swear.
My tears are brought to you by Bass Pro Shop and the Visit Omaha Council.
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. Traffic and weather together first on The Voice on KCMO. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
I never dreamed that any mere physical experience could be so stimulating.
KCM.
Oh!
KCMO.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line.
I feel like we're being chased.
Here, there's the Rawhide theme. That's
Rawhide. Oh, there we go. Ooh,
that's Rawhide, not Bonanza. You've got Religion on the line this morning with brand new bumper music. Please forgive us. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. I like the new music. I think it keeps us alert and clear and excited.
I agree with you, Michael. Yeah.
Can I throw one thing in?
Yeah.
You know, you both may have noticed this week they released the notion that NASA researchers have found over 1,200 new planets, three of which are in the so-called Goldilocks zone in the connection to where they orbit their stars. The Goldilocks zone, not too hot, not too cold, just right in terms of the possibility of liquid water. A fascinating thing. But at the same time, as Bob, you know, I'm cleaning out my office and in preparation to move into
Move your stuff to another office, right?
Right. and lo and behold, I found this, and I just thought, wow, especially given that piece of information and some of the challenges we often get both on the show and for ourselves. This is, I've written this down, and I put next to it St. Clement. I've not yet researched it to make sure that it's correct, but a person who has faith is a servant of God, but a scientist with faith is a friend of God. Now, the thing underneath it was from Albert Einstein's The World as I See It, his essay on the religiousness of science. Can I give you a little excerpt?
Yeah,
you bet.
The scientist is possessed by the sense of universal causation. His religious feeling takes the form of a rapturous amazement at the harmony of natural law, which reveals an intelligence of such superiority that compared with it, all the systematic thinking and acting of human beings is an utterly insignificant reflection. This feeling is the guiding principle of his life and work, insofar as he succeeds in keeping himself from the shackles of selfish desire. Now, if you read that, and I didn't have the science thing, wow, there is one of the deepest religious awarenesses ever. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
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 And then on top of that, assuming St. Clement said, I don't know why I would have put St. Clement's name out of thin air. Somebody said he said this. A scientist is a friend of God. Mm. I love it. Anyway,
I think it's a beautiful thing to cite. So it'd be nice to get the exact, you know, location in his corpus. And
I'm which, St. Clement or
St. Clement? St. Clement, yeah.
I will Google it for next week. Isn't that terrible to use that as a verb? But while I was during the break, do you know that a 10-year-old, this is going to embarrass all of us, a 10-year-old Kansas City, Missouri girl has smashed the kids' national record for the most sit-ups after surpassing the previous record by 109.
Wow.
She broke your record?
Yeah.
She did over 2,100 sit-ups in 1 hour and 37 minutes non-stop, and I think she should be banned from all further activity.
Yeah, of course.
That's some six-pack she's got.
Yeah, really.
She may have an eight-pack, for God's sake.
My goodness. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's hard to imagine. 2,100 and how many?
Darn it. I just...
You just left it.
It was over 2,100.
Okay.
Right here in Kansas City.
Well, good for her.
How old was she?
10 years, a 10-year-old. Oh, here, I've got it again. 2,110.
Well, good for her. And I'm glad she did mine for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. My goodness. Oh, my. I mean, that just hurts to think about. So, okay, we have this challenge up. What is the color for Pentecost? And, Michael, Bill and I were discussing the Judaic base, the Jewish basis for the Christian observance of Pentecost. You want to say something about that?
Sure. It's clearly a parallel to the sacred occasion that we call Shavuot, which means weeks. Seven times seven plus one is Pentecost. And Pentecost, for us, as we call it, Shavuot, begins 50 days after Passover. So it's a clear parallel, as well as the notion that in Jewish tradition it marks the theophany or the revelation at Mount Sinai, and where the community becomes a distinct group with a very specific mission, and that, of course, is the parallel to the founding of the church.
And what's the significance of the number 7 times 7? And what, like, why isn't 49? I mean, 7 times 7 is 49, and 7's a perfect number. But why the plus 1?
But because then it would be the next day.
Okay.
But clearly, you know, it's a period of 7 weeks. The conceit, and I use that word in its positive sense, the conceit is if on Passover we get out of Egypt, 50 days later we get to Sinai. A journey of 7 weeks full, and the next day you're at Sinai.
Right.
And so this is why in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we find all of these folks that are in Jerusalem, and the text says that the gospel was given in a new way through the Spirit, and it was given in a universal fashion to, my goodness, people like Medes and Parthians and Elamites and people from Cappadocia.
I mean,
Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody.
Need to take it back.
Yeah.
Well, and then, yeah, they're preaching in tongues, which has a parallel with the Tower of Babel, where... Right, where they're, I mean, the Tower of Babel language was separated, but now, I mean, I think the Christian idea would be then God's bringing humanity together through the church, and that the disunity that happened at Babel is being restored.
Right. Okay. So do you guys have other topics? Because it's been speedy all morning just with our beginning the program, and I'm curious if there are some other items that you want to throw out there.
Yes, indeed. We are having a kind of, what shall we say, a big engagement with what God intends for the human community with regard to the edicts out of the education and the justice departments with regard to same-sex bathrooms or transgender bathrooms. We are having a discussion about what is it to be a human being, and what is what are the what should we say? How should we approach the debate about transgender identity and how we treat folks? I find it interesting that the White House guidelines that accompanied the administration's kind of pronouncements about these guidelines. The letter came from the Education and the Department of Justice, and who would
you mean I was
to,
actually right? It didn't come from the president.
It actually came. But I think that it was generated by the White House, but it came from the Education and Justice Department. So probably everybody's right. But what about this statement? There is no room in our schools for discrimination of any kind, including discrimination against transgender students on the basis of their sex. This guidance gives administrators, teachers, parents the tools they need to protect transgender students from peer harassment and to identify and address unjust school policies. What's wrong with that, except to say that basically being transgender is that wrong from the get-go? And that is what some people are saying, that there's no basis for that, that that's not true, and that there's resistance for that. But I want to say also, in the law in North Carolina, do you know that the law in North Carolina that presumably has just to do about the transgender aspect of this, it also prevents people from suing about discrimination based on race? Do people know that? That's one of the reasons companies far and wide are saying we can't abide doing business with you anymore. Not just because of the transgender issue, but because of basically it allows for bigotry and discrimination to be practiced and for there to be no legal recourse in terms of lawsuits.
So are you basically saying they kind of took a popular issue and put an racist rider on the bill, we got a lot of people behind.
I think it certainly has racist implications, yes. Yeah. And I think that's part of why there's been such an outcry from businesses left and right. Plus, they're trying to say this is the way that we're moving into the future. This is the way that we prefer. So, Michael, you have comments on that?
Well, my understanding, Bob, is that what you just suggested is absolutely correct. And the notion that someone is threatened by a person who understands themselves to be of the sex as this bathroom, if bathrooms are designated male and female, it is so fascinatingly painful to observe because there is no threat. It's stunning and sad, and in my opinion, it's meant to be a wedge issue, pure and simple, not an issue of real
of substance, yeah.
Devotion and conscience, and exactly.
It could be. Some people are saying I don't like the way the world is changing. It's too much for me, and mm-hmm. I think that's a very common response. And not that I have sympathy for where they end up, but I have sympathy for the shock to the system, and I understand that people are resistant to change. But change is coming. It's here. And how we accommodate to that change and broaden the ways that we can have sympathies for one another is a true test of our character, I believe. But they might say, I just don't like it. It's just too much for me. Well, there were some people back in the day that thought machines were evil. The Amish are a testament to this, you know. The Amish chose to stay in a certain mode of living that does not reflect modernity, that rejects its ways. That's fine. That's for them. And the nice thing about the Amish is they give us exemplary models for our behavior in other respects that are just astounding in terms of their forgiveness, in terms of their peaceableness. But they also don't impose their worldview on you, Michael, or me, or you, Bill. They just go forth. So.
But I think a lot of people feel like the government with this mm-hmm. edict. I mean, people are describing this as an edict, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden, despite the realities of their community, the state is saying, "Look, we're going to withhold your funding if you don't adhere to our worldview," mm-hmm. and there doesn't seem to be very much of an argument. Basically they're saying if somebody self-identifies as a gender, then for legal purposes, that's the gender you'll teach or else you'll treat them that way. And I think people are feeling like that's a huge power grab. I mean, really to basically say, genital reality or biological reality no longer has a bearing on gender.
I don't think that's what they're saying as much as I do, although I understand that concern. I mean, clearly. And I think you're right in the sense that some folks react anytime the federal government, imposes itself as the, by fiat, there is a natural instinct in the American psyche to try to find a place in every one of us that is disconcerted by that.
Michael, we'll continue with that. We've got to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Carson in the Morning.
By the way, even if she did have an affair with Ted Cruz,
not likely considering she's a 10 and he's Grandpa Munster.
Yes. Yeah. It's inappropriate to bring that up in this way. This is like just dirty, evil, like bottom feed website rumor stuff that's being retweeted.
It's below us even. I mean, that's how bad it is. This is even below us, Jerry.
Why are we even talking about this?
I don't know. I feel dirty. I need to take a shower.
We're worthless. I'll never be clean again.
Carson in the Morning. Weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Listen up and lace them up, Chiefs Kingdom, because you're invited to join the Chiefs on Friday night, June 10th at the stadium for the 4th annual Arrowhead 5K. Starting in the parking lot, you'll race around Kauffman and into Arrowhead through the Chiefs Hall of Honor and the iconic player introduction tunnel, all the way onto the field where you'll cross the finish line under the bright lights of Arrowhead, right on the 50-yard line. Then stick around for a post-race celebration inside inside the stadium with field games, a DJ, beer garden, race prizes, Chiefs cheerleaders, and more. All participants will receive a 5K t-shirt, an Arrowhead pint glass, and can tour the Chiefs locker room. Register now at chiefs.com/arrowhead5k. Get your running buddies together on Friday, June 10th for a night of fun under the lights at Arrowhead. Visit chiefs.com/arrowhead5k to register today. That's chiefs.com/arrowhead5k.
What is it about buying a mattress that leaves you feeling violated? Is it the pushy salespeople, the fake President's Day sale, or the fact that you know you'll regret what you bought as you do the walk of shame out of the mattress store? I'm here to tell you, those days are over. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, co-founder of Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we create your custom sleep profile to build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Your mattress will arrive at your door in about a week, and shipping is 100% free. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free and give you a 100% refund, no questions asked. It's like it never happened. If you do love your new Helix mattress, keep it and your dignity. That's why everyone from GQ Magazine to Forbes are all talking about Helix Sleep. Go to helixsleep.com/talk and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/talk.
Carson in the Morning.
Let's go to Anna on the line. Anna, welcome to the Carson in the Morning Show.
How are you?
I'm good. You want to play Trump or 12-year-old?
I do.
All right, let's start with this first quote. Trump or 12-year-old? Quote, you can't expect everyone to have the same dedication as you.
Trump.
No, that is a 12-year-old. That's a 12-year-old. Sorry, Anna, thanks for the phone call. That was not Trump. We're going to X that one off.
Ow, already.
I told you it's not easy. Scott, welcome to the Carson in the Morning Show.
Good morning.
Let's do Trump or 12-year-old. Here's the quote. I don't know if this makes me a bad person or whatever, but it's hard for me to get interested in other people's vacations. Trump or 12-year-old?
Trump.
No, that's 12-year-old. That's from Higher Even Whippy Kid.
Including the whatever?
Yeah, including the whatever. Yeah.
Surprise.
Dave on the line. Hello, Dave. You want to play Trump or 12-year-old?
Yes.
Quote, I have never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke.
12-year-old.
No, that's Donald Trump. Wow.
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the Morning.
Why more women are letting their husbands cheat? Really? What? I mean, how often does this happen?
Where did you see this? AshleyMadison.com?
No, I did not. You know, if my wife did this, I would be like that animal that's raised in captivity. When they take them out, they lift up the cage, and it just kind of sits there in the cage. That's what would happen to me. She'd be like, go cheat this weekend. And I would be. I'd be just like that animal, just cowering. I can't. I've never lived out there. It's been so long.
Carson in the Morning. Weekday morning, 6 to 10.
As the political season rolls on, keep your radio tuned here and to CBS Radio News. For the political news you can trust, get all the information you need to decide who will be the next president and who will control Congress.
FM 103.7 and AM 710, KCMO. Traffic and weather together first on The Force on KCMO. KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Why don't you talk into the microphone? I got a backup mic right here. Check, 1, 2, testing.
KCMO, Kansas City.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, a minister emeritus at Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas. Hoss, along with
Hoss Cartwright of the Ponderosa. Also known as Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. I just want to put a footnote on the thought where we were when we had to go to break. To me, suggesting to a person, and we're clearly talking about a young person, who dresses in as a particular sex, assuming that you can make a distinction like that, but whose understanding of self, him or herself, is that they are male or female, and that a bathroom is off limits because you have genitalia that don't conform, privacy is maintained in the bathroom as opposed to the bullying that would take place if a person in a dress goes into a boy's restroom in a school. That to me is most compelling, and as opposed to what would happen in North Carolina, as near as I can tell, is that you're in violation of the law if you do that.
Yeah, I think you'd be locked up, then pay a fine or or go to jail if you did it repeatedly, and then all other kinds of consequences. Why don't we go to some callers? We got almost a full board here. How about that? Okay. And sure. We'll go to Madeline. Madeline, you've got Religion on the Line. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Pentecost. It's one of my favorite holidays, church holidays. I really like it. And Ed, the color is red.
Very good. Okay, you got it. You got it.
I called many of my elderly friends to remind them to wear red. And, of course, my Jewish sister is very proud that I go to church on Saturday. So you talk about ecumenical, but it is a very special time and a very special. It's more than even Christmas in our family. It has been.
Really? Okay.
And I love it. It's just a joyous thing. And but I have yet to be speak anything but English, and I'm still waiting for the Holy Spirit to give me that ability.
Well, you'll forgive me, Madeline, if I say that I think the Holy Spirit's visited you aplenty. So.
Well, I know in my heart, I know that. I just, I'm waiting, and that's a good thing.
I don't think you have to wait.
I pray you all
God
well.
God can speak in English too.
Behold, I am with you always till the end of age, and I love that. Growing up, it was more than a pasta Sunday. Pentecost was, everything was red on the tablecloth, the candles, and
wow.
No gifts, no, it was nothing but, and I, mea culpa, I did not follow through with my children, although they always knew it was special. Sunday was still pasta Sunday.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a good week. God bless.
Thank you
so much, Madeline. Is there an understanding of why red is the color?
Because of the tongues of fire that rested over the heads.
Okay.
Of everybody. And Michael, I got to give a shout out to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and the Kansas City Royals. I have the privilege of preaching a baseball sermon this morning. And it's going to be at the Jazz Brunch prior to the Negro Leagues Heritage Tribute Game today, when the Royals will be wearing the Monarchs uniforms. And I'm going to come out of the Baseball Old Testament of First Satchel Paige, and we're going to have a little fun at the pavilion this morning. So,
Matt, I'm sure you're aware that baseball is in the Hebrew Bible.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Right, and also the tennis is in the Hebrew Bible.
Oh, how's that?
Joseph served in Pharaoh's court.
I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda, and we are grateful to have the opportunity to say together,
God bless.
Carson in the morning.
If Rob Carson says that I support you, I mean, that's priceless. I mean, honestly, it's do or die. You don't kiss the ring of the old Carsoni here, you're done.
Are you sure it's not the kiss of death?
Yes.
I mean, I've known you for such a short amount of time.
Poison lipstick, yes.
Everybody you've supported, they go away. They actually flame out in like spectacular
Scott
fashion.
Walker will come back someday.
I mean, just since I've known you, you were originally Scott Walker. I love this guy.
Oh, yeah.
There went his campaign.
Oh, boy, I sure like that Carly Fiorina, man. Oh God.
Took it out back and shot it.
Oh, Marco Rubio.
I went to love Marco
rally.
For a while.
I went to his rally. And I guess I'll vote for Ted Cruz then. I mean, what the heck? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, no. Oh, he's all over me now. Oh, my God. Give me a towel. I think I got some of him in my mouth here when he blew up.
Carson in the morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. FM 103.7 and AM 710. KC.